Gonna go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! The knock down the ball! Head of the 35!
Welcome to the Duck Pod. I'm Ryan Thorburn, and Austin Meek is not joining me today. He is in Corvallis trying to figure out what's going on with the Beavers, so it's just going to be me flying solo today, but we do have another great guest this week, Tom Berman, the athletic director at the University of Wyoming. The Ducks are getting ready for their first road game of the Willie Taggart era at Wyoming in Laramie, 7,220 feet, War Memorial Stadium. And Tom, I've set it up for you. That's quite an opponent you've got coming in. What's kind of the vibe in Wyoming about having Oregon coming in to your home stadium?
Well, there's great excitement all around the state of Wyoming. I mean, people are fired up for this football game. They've circled it on the schedule since last year. You know, we've been fortunate in recent years. We've been able to host Nebraska, and we've hosted Texas. You know, those were at a time when our program was either kind of struggling or just starting to turn the corner. And so our fan base is excited. They think if we play really good football, we got a chance to win. And that's something they haven't had the chance in the past to really believe in when we've hosted these kind of brands like Oregon and Texas and Nebraska. So there's great enthusiasm. There's great respect for the Ducks and the Duck fan base. And I hope those people have a wonderful time in Wyoming.
Another element that, you know, Oregon found out last week, Texas and especially Nebraska, they really take over visiting stadiums. I think there was, you know, I want to say 10 to 15,000 Nebraska fans in Eugene last weekend. It was incredible. And that happened in Laramie, too. Texas had a great representation there. Nebraska did. I imagine this, though, will be more of a home field advantage for Wyoming in terms of just the number of Wyoming fans versus Oregon fans.
Yeah, I mean, Nebraska being a neighboring state is, I mean, to be honest with you, western Nebraska, the vast majority of Huskers are closer to the University of Wyoming than they are to the University of Nebraska. So it was really difficult to keep them out of our venue. We tried very hard, but it was very challenging. So they had a great turnout here, and Texas had a good turnout. The Ducks have done a nice job, but it's not as if it's going to they're going to come in and take over the venue. There'll be a good Duck contingent, but the vast majority of the 30,000-plus people in the stands will be Wyoming Cowboys.
Now, obviously, Wyoming came out here in 2014. Oregon had Marcus Mariota. He won the Heisman that year. They went to the national championship game. A lot has changed at Oregon, but not too much in terms of how the offense looks. Obviously, the uniforms. It's Willie Taggart, as I mentioned, his first road game. When you came out to Oregon, I know you're building a brand-new facility, the High Altitude Center. Did you get a chance to kind of study what they've done out here? And
yeah, we were in the kind of the early stages of design and fundraising of our new facility, and we toured their facility. The brand and the model of Wyoming football and the brand and the model of Oregon football are dramatically different, and so we learned a lot. We didn't try to copy Oregon. Obviously, Oregon's its own unique deal and has its own style. And Coach Bowles a real old school guy. He wanted tradition. So our facility is state of the art, but it is very old school and tradition, and it's a different look than some of the facilities that have been done in Oregon. But we did take a look and we're very impressed and used it as a guide, especially some of the internal workings of the building.
And it's interesting because you worked at Portland State right before that, you know, really Chip Kelly really took it to a whole nother level here. What was kind of your take from Oregon being in the state and kind of watching that rise that was about to happen?
Well, you know what, when you go back, you could just see it starting to happen at the end of Coach Bilotti's time, and well, not the end, but Coach Bilotti turned a corner, and it was becoming a national program. And then, obviously, Chip Kelly came in and did a fantastic job building a national profile and found his niche and capitalized on it. So, but, you know, and when you're in the state of Oregon, the Ducks are – and that's just hard for Oregon State people to hear. They're the preeminent brand in the state. They probably always will be. And there's that. There's a different vibe about what is the University of Oregon and what is Oregon State. And to see where they have gone is, I tip my hat to them. They've done a great job at the University of Oregon. And you know what? Based on what I've seen, I watched a little bit of the Nebraska game. It looks pretty. Maybe the formations are different, but the results are the same. You're putting up a lot of points and high-paced football, high-action football. A lot of fun. I think Duck fans are in good position for the future.
Yeah, and you mentioned the contrast in styles. I mean, as a reporter, it's always interesting when there's an opening. We had to deal with it last year when Mark Helfrich was let go and the search began for a new coach. I think Willie Taggart maybe wasn't on a lot of people's lists. He was obviously on Rob Mullen's list. And I go back to 2013 when you had to do a coaching search. I remember that was my first year out here, and a guy from the Casper Star Tribune called me to see if we had Jeff Tedford's phone number, I think, was the name. And all the names that go out there, and I think you caught a lot of people off guard by being able to lure Craig Bohl away from North Dakota State. He had been there a long time. I think a lot of people thought he was a Big Ten or a future Big 12 coach, and it just seems like a really good fit. Now are you starting to see the fruits of that labor that you put in to get Craig Bohl and kind of invest in him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I made a mistake going back. Prior to hiring Coach Bohl, I hired Dave Christensen, who was an offensive guru at Missouri, you know, one of the first preeminent spread guys, multi-time national offensive coordinator of the year. But fit is more important. Fit in culture is more important. And as you get older, you got to understand how you can try to marry those two. And so when we went after Coach Bohl, we went out after him with everything we could, and we're able to lure him to come to the University of Wyoming, and you can see our program turning. I mean, last year we won 8 games. We won some enormous home games, beating Boise State, which was an awesome opportunity and an awesome event for the University of Wyoming. And now we're in year 4 of it, and I think if we can solve our running game, we're going to be a really good football team this year. We're not running the ball well enough to say, hey, we're going to be great. But if we can solve that, we got a chance to be really good.
Obviously, especially in the NFL draft field, the mock draft to become a cottage year-round industry, Josh Allen obviously came out of nowhere, received so much attention this offseason, starting with Adam Schefter kind of declaring that he would be the number one draft according to a draft pick overall, according to a source. A lot of pressure on Josh. I think people don't realize that he lost his running back, tight end, top receiver, and center to the NFL. He came back. How tough is that, and do you think it's something he can handle as the team kind of grows around him?
It's very tough, and I think even as administrators, coaches, fans, we did not realize how good the guys were that we had last year catching the ball for him and running the football. I mean, Tanner Gentry, Jacob Hollister, and Brian Hill, all on rosters. I believe all three will have long careers in the NFL. I think Tanner Gentry will be a great player in the NFL. And so those three guys right there were really good and helped Josh become a national story. We don't have those guys yet. And hopefully we're going to have some kids develop in the next few weeks and to replace them. But if we don't, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Josh because he can't do it all by himself. He needs help. He's an immensely talented kid, and he's very well grounded, got a great family. I expect him to be able to handle the pressure, but it's very difficult if you're not getting some help around you. And so I think we're going to have some guys step up and start to make plays. We had a tight end make a great catch the other day. I think our running game is going to improve. But until we see it, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Josh. But he'll handle it well. He's a really bright young man. I'm not comparing him to Marcus Mariota as a player because Marcus has proven to be a great player in the NFL. But what I saw of Marcus as a person, I see a lot of those characteristics in Josh.
Yeah, speaking of Marcus, I mean, Oregon's had great quarterbacks before, great players, great success, but he's really the GOAT in this program's history, and he's still a great ambassador for the program, and a lot of players like Justin Herbert, you know, obviously dreamed to be in his shoes, and now Justin is. What do you think Allen could do for Bowles program if he is, in fact, the face of an NFL franchise after he's done at Wyoming?
Well, if he becomes a face of an NFL franchise, and obviously Carson Wentz is the face of an NFL franchise, that would be two highly successful quarterbacks in the NFL and under the Craig Bohl, Brett Vegan, our offensive coordinator regime. And I think it will just improve their ability to recruit players. I mean, they can go in and talk about, hey, if you go to Wyoming, you can end up being the first pick in the draft. It doesn't matter where you go to school. NFL teams are going to find you, and we know how to develop players for the NFL. We run a traditional NFL-style offense. We're gonna play like you're going to play on Sunday, and we're going to train you like you're going to play on Sunday.
I'm curious, when I got home from the game the other night, I watched San Diego State beat Arizona State. I watched Boise State really squander what should have been a really nice win at Washington State. I know San Diego State hosts Stanford this week. Colorado State plays Alabama. Obviously, you guys get to host the Ducks. What's kind of the state of the Mountain West right now, and where do you think the conference's future lies in the playoff era?
I think the league right now is we have really good quarterbacks. When you have good quarterbacks, you got a chance in big games. And you look across the league right now, I think we have really good quarterbacks, and we're a little older this year as a league. So I think the Aztecs are right now maybe a notch ahead of everybody. Boise State's very good. I think we're very good. I think Colorado State is improving, and they slipped it with the Colorado game, but they played very well against Oregon State. So as a league, the Mountain side is extremely good. The Pacific side, the West, has some work to do other than the Aztecs, but they're improving, and I think the future of that side is very good. The league, you know, obviously we're not a Power Five league. Would we like to be? Absolutely, but the dollars and cents are dramatically different. There are things that the Oregon Ducks can do that the Wyoming Cowboys cannot do. So we've got to become the best possible league we can be. And I think, you know, the American likes to tout that they are the premier non-Power 5 leaguers. They want to call it the Power 6. But the fact of the matter is they won't play us. We're more than happy to play anybody in the American home and home, and they don't call us back. So, and I think that's pretty much across the board for everybody in the Mountain West. There's it's hard to schedule, but the Pac-12 has been good to us. We have good games this week and nationally, and now we got to win some. You know, you can't. The Aztecs did it for Saturday night. You can't blow opportunities, and the Mountain West has to win a couple games.
Long term, I know Josh Allen mentioned that, you know, his ultimate goal this year would be to play in the Fiesta Bowl, which, you know, the group of five, you know, the number one group of five team will have a chance to do that. In the long term, you know, 10, 15 years from now, do you see an 8-team playoff where a group of five player could be represented in that 8 teams, or do you see two different championships between, you know, the group of five getting their own champion and the Power Five doing their own champion?
I'm not a proponent of the group of five having their own championship, and there are many in my position around the country that believe we should try to do that, that we could generate new dollars and have our own championship. Once you do that, you have truly decided you're not playing with the Power Five schools. And if we were going to do that, then I would say we don't play them anymore, just period, across the board, don't play each other. Everybody plays within their own division. I don't want that. I want to continue as we are, but I would like to see an 8-team championship with the five Power Five conference championships, the best of the group of five, and then two at-larges, or however many at-larges that would leave you, and line it up on the field and go play. And there'll come a day, if that ever happened, which I think money will dictate it, when Boise State or San Diego State or Wyoming or Colorado State wins an opening round game in the playoffs, and it would be a huge national story, sort of like the opening weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament is. I mean, I watched the opening weekend of the NCAA basketball tournament far more intently than I watch the Elite Eight games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think Cinderella would be fun if you had, you know, a Boise State as an 8th seed. Even if they have to play on Alabama's home field, at
yep.
least they would have that shot. Finally, I'll wrap it up with this. I mean, I should have went full disclosure at the start for all you Oregon fans still listening, but I did grow up in Wyoming. I did graduate from Wyoming. I have written 3 books about Wyoming athletics, and I know a lot of people that already know that are asking me what they should do on this trip. You know, obviously, you got to go to Vita Vu. You got to go check out the Snowy Range, maybe go to the Buckhorn, maybe don't do the Buckhorn roll.
Be careful there.
But what are some must? I haven't been to Laramie for a long time. Where should, you know, Ducks fans hang out, eat, that sort of thing?
Well, it depends what they're looking for. I mean, obviously, Eugene's a great college town. You have wonderful mountains, you know, not far from you, and you have the coast, which is stunning. So you guys have great things to see in Oregon as well. But the Snowy Range is beautiful. Centennial, which is 30 miles away, is a really eclectic little town that has some really neat culture. There's a bar restaurant there called the Bear Tree, which is, it's just a neat atmosphere. In Laramie, there's a college bar called the Buckhorn. It's downstairs. It's not really a college bar. It's more of an older crowd, a little bit rougher. Then upstairs, more of a college atmosphere. You know, there's a bunch of nice, interesting stores in downtown Laramie. You know, Laramie is truly a college town. The campus is gorgeous. Walk around the campus, see Prexy's Pasture. We are under construction for Duck fans. So we have a lot of construction going on, and so it's not easy to get around our campus and our specific, particular athletic facilities. But be patient with us. Our people will be extremely generous. If you need anything, ask them, and they'll take great care of you. But Wyoming is a college town that is passionate about its cowboys and cowgirls, and I think the Duck fans will find it a wonderful experience. The weather is supposed to be good, not great, so make sure you bring a sweatshirt, because when the sun goes down, I think we're going to be in the high in the mid-60s, but it'll cool off really quick, and it'll be in the 50s before you know it.
All right, Tom. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And good luck this season. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care.